yesterday's commentary, for there most definitely will be an examination different than ever before, which no cheating will be possible. Be sure that you know the commentary of yesterday. All news extensively since Saturday, and responsible for all news in general since a week ago Saturday, because of no thorough examination. People's rally this evening. At some point in time, like we're now relaxing hours on Sunday, and we'll be pulling back in spite of an urgent need for production, failure and maintenance of equipment which must be improved forthwith, immediately, at a high expense now of replacement of parts and even new equipment, we are in a grave situation that calls for creativity. We have many things that need to produce on a vaster basis, our soap, our brick, but we have to have personnel in agriculture to have the firm food base that we require. So giving up time is counterproductive and just shows your dad's humanitarian, deep, sensitive concern for you. I hope that you will make good use of your time, your off hours, and your days off. I really appeal to you from the depth of my heart. We are not as creative as we should be. Past communal groups have failed for that very reason. Too many people rest on the enduring quality of your mother and your father. But believe me, that is unfair. Having spent an atrocious night of pain in my head over just worrying over details of the program here and stateside till I was at the point of nausea, I do appeal for your assistance. I can continue a long time, and you will be safeguarded in that period by transition in leadership. But don't handle me and your mother as if we were immortal. I do require that the same respect that you must give, though may not feel, that's the beauty of your dad. He revolves around your needs and not your love for him, or he would die. But I require the same respect for your mother. This is required. Many give it spontaneously out of need for her as you do for me, but some fail to recognize her position and how important it is to respect leadership at every level. We'll begin the news now after that appeal from my heart to yours. As school is let out, I hope every child will take upon themselves to show interest in administrators' meetings, analysts' meetings, so that you can learn. There are people like Cleve Swinney with great, great talent who has too few that are willing to take that skill and even read the material that's necessary to learn it. Yet he reads without glasses that are suitable because he did not want to leave the machine shop, but will so at my urging this week. I beg you to learn these great crafts and skills so that we can be highly productive, in the only safe place in the world. You have found it. Now, don't mess it up. In Bonn, West Germany, the successor, by its own claim, as Hitler's Third Reich, there has been a meeting of the seven major capitalist nations, the industrial capitalist in the monopoly stage. That is the last stage before the collapse of a system that was indeed superior to feudalism, but in no way is it a match for the beauty of sensitivity, cooperativeness, and humaneness of socialism. Production in the early part of socialism is the great problem. For some unknown reason, people will not produce as much without a great deal of education and force. They will not produce as much for a family as they do for their own animalistic, lustful competition, which is known by the horrible name of capitalism that has wrought such hell on the world. Anyway, the capitalists are meeting for emergency reasons in Bonn, West Germany, to patch up capitalism for yet a longer time. The United States has agreed to reduce oil imports. This will mean that many people will have to drive much less, and that many people will freeze to death in the winter. But that's the price of economic stability in capitalism. This was not explained in full economic detail. Some of your teachers who are aware of economics perhaps can give a brief pointer in People's Rally on some of the agreements that have been worked out to keep the lustful capitalists from competing with each other and competing out of existence. As a result of USA's agreement to reduce oil imports and drive less, Japan agreed to increase imports, that they would buy more than they've been selling. They have had a margin. They have sold more than they have bought, and had the surplus due to their protectionist policies, though capitalistic, distrustful of the white capitalist of Europe in the common market and USA. And of course the Trilateral Commission, that are the ruling capitalists of the world, is predominantly white and Anglo-Saxon Protestant. There is a comprehensive strategy worked out to increase interlocking trade agreements that is hopeful will eliminate some of the unemployment that was due to strike even in a vaster degree by September. There were international accords for the first time. Armed struggle, as the capitalists call all armed struggle terrorism, the capitalists have unified around that one concern. All of the seven capitalist nations, which includes Italy, England, France, West Germany, Japan, USA, Canada, so forth, have stated that they will stop all commercial airlines ingoing and outcoming from any nation that harbors terrorists, or gives immunity to terrorists, or where terrorists, as they call those who struggle for liberation, are given training or any kind of financial assistance. No flights of any airline will be allowed in or out to any airport of these capitalist nations, because they feel that terrorism is the greatest danger to capitalism in the next months ahead. Also, all other commercial trade agreements will be broken, and sanctions economic sanctions, boycotts, will be established against any nation that gives assistance to hijackers or those the capitalists call terrorists. It has frightening new dimensions. It may indeed eliminate some insane acts, but it will have a restrictive effect on those who are really struggling to be delivered from the oppressor's heel. But nothing can stop, in the long run, the liberation of people. It is inevitable as the rising and setting of the sun. USA has been accused by Zambia of providing tanks and personnelling those tanks that were used to oppress the liberation in Zaire of the Katanganese, also in the West Sahara. Tanks are also standing by advanced military equipment provided by USA to be used by Israel against the Palestinian Liberation Organization. It was decided that the upcoming conference in London of the foreign ministers of Egypt, Israel, and USA will be moved to a medieval castle 30 miles from London at Leeds because of dangers to the Israeli representatives. It has been much decided that the PLO will be given more significant involvement in Near East settlement, at least on the part of USA and Egypt, that Arafat, the head of PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, will have to be involved. No speculations as what will come out of that meeting, that summit meeting. The Sudanese government has set up strict security. We will talk of Sudan in a little while. We'll make it one of our points of study. And Spain, because Spain is in the news. The Sudanese government has set up strict security with all of their airports closed only to the heads of state of the 30 principal African nations that are sure to be involved. As you know, Khartoum, the capital of Sudan, has been the meeting place for some days of the foreign ministers of 49 leading African nations. They're in their third rounds of talks in spite of some disagreements. They have not been able to work out an accepted concept of Pan-African defense, though they have rejected the Western attempt to impose a Pan-African peacekeeping force that was originated in Paris, in France, the lackey of USA. In other areas, there have been significant breakthroughs. Also, we go into the fourth round of talks, in spite of the constant argument over the radio waves about dissidents in the Soviet Union and how they're treated, and Carter's catchphrase about human rights. If he would only be consistent and talk about his human rights of all the black people and Indian people that are living in proverbial concentration camps by the literal hundreds of thousands in U.S. jails. But the round of talks are going on about some kind of accord in SALT agreements, strategic arms limitation agreements, and some agreement to stop nuclear proliferation, which means spreading of nuclear weapons that risk World War III at any time, according to many military strategists, at least in the Northern Hemisphere regions of Europe, the Soviet Union, China, and USA. The Italian Red Guard have captured 8 secret police guards and are holding them hostages in demand for the release of political prisoners in different countries who are working for left causes, socialist and communist causes. The demands have not yet been fully revealed. The Red Guard has daily these days, the Red Brigade, has daily been able to succeed in carrying out some kind of armed reaction to try to bring down the Italian capitalist state. A amazing prison escape in Portugal's largest prison. One half of the inmates of the major prison in Portugal outside of Lisbon, which is on Portugal, it borders Spain on its west coast. Over 120 are still free, better than two-thirds of those that escaped. For some weeks they had been building a tunnel that went many, many yards under the prison and out to freedom, far away from the guards. It is perhaps the most successful prison breakout in history. It was organized by elements of the Portuguese Red Guard, socialist, communist militants inside the jail, and, as I said, succeeded in freeing over one half of the inmates of the largest prison. Portugal has been moving towards a work rehabilitation program that is more humane than we see in USA, where 15 bodies to 20 bodies are crowded in a cell meant for one person and no activity allowed, where the person simply atrophies and decays, and they call that prison reform and rehabilitation. An interlocking agreement in this conference at Bonn will help, says President Carter, bring about a higher growth rate in the Third World also. There was no elaboration of the Bonn West German meeting, but something was done that will assure this. One thing that was agreed upon, that there would be no significant increase in oil pricing. I hope that the Arab League agrees with the seven major capitalist nations that are doing business for them. I could hardly imagine that they could commit the Arab League. The USA will increase the balance of payments by restricting, as we said, import of oil, and this will strengthen the value of the dollar. It's hoped by the desperate capitalists in Bonn, neo-fascist West Germany, that are trying to save capitalism. Already before the meeting in Leeds Castle in Kent, near London, of the foreign ministers of Egypt and Israel and USA, Egypt has stated that expansionism will not succeed. Failure to comply will break the peace. It has already taken on the connotation of a negative conference. What is not likely to happen, said the BBC. Americans point out that 8 months since Sadat made historic peace visits to Jerusalem, nothing of significance have been granted by the Israeli expansionist regime to bring about peaceful settlement of the Gaza problem and the West Bank. There's an obvious turn to appease the Arab League that contain the riches of the world in capitalism, oil. There's obvious efforts to put Israel in its place, in spite of Israel in its nationalism, cleverly getting the nuclear bomb, which endangers the peace of all of her allies and enemies. In Spain, we find a frightening reaction to the economic turbulence. There's not been much activity by a Red Army or Red Brigade of any significance, but the Socialist and Communist parties, which are Euro-Communist, Revisionist-Communist, have not been able to balance the horrifying growth, even though there's new laws since the death of dictator Franco, new laws banning fascist and wearing the Nazi Iron Cross and dread swastikas. The fascists gathered 2 million strong, singing the songs that were reminiscent over the Voice of America of the 30s, Sieg Heil, Hitler, Hail, Franco. It was as if you were reliving, listening to the short wave about 5:30 this morning. It was as if you were reliving the awesome days in which Hitler mounted parades of millions as they were caught up and misguided in nationalism instead of international socialism. In spite of laws banning, I said, Nazism and fascism, there were nearly 2 million in a mass rallies throughout Spain, commemorating a special hero's days of the Falangist or the fascist who were pro-Hitler. Franco was pro-Hitler, helped German Nazi ambitions, was an ally, but was spared by the Rockefellers and came out still being the dictator over Spain until just 1975, in fact. The Nazis, the fascist Falangist Christian Party, said that communism, liberalism, anarchy, sounded like Z, film repeat, was threatening the spiritual powers and values. They were being destroyed by the dread enemy of the Antichrist of communism. It demanded loyalty to Falangist fascist concepts to restore the dictatorship to Spain. Vicious campaign against the Basques, who have been seeking to be independent and free, spoke out in firm tones against constitutional democracy like the John Birch Society and the growing right wing in USA, who openly say democracy will not work. And they may be right. It may take the authoritarianism of a humanitarian communism and socialism, or you'll have the choice of the cruel dictatorship of fascism and its gas chambers. China, mainland China, is stressing that 300 to 500 Chinese are leaving each day. The Chinese state that, contrary to Vietnamese statements, that these Chinese are leaving because their lands were expropriated, that they were avaricious capitalists. They are in fact ethnic Chinese who lived primarily in North Vietnam, what was formerly known as North Vietnam. Vietnam and her observers deny this. The ethnic Chinese were the bandit element of capitalists, remnant capitalists in South Vietnam who refused rehabilitation. Anyway, the struggle goes on. Chinese ships are still denied entrance into the harbors to take out their ethnic Chinese. On the one hand, the ethnic Chinese are being sent back in Hong Kong and some are fleeing. China is very contradictory. It claims that she's being infiltrated by Chinese loyal to Vietnam, and on the other hand says that all Chinese ethnics living in Vietnam are mistreated by race prejudice. China is an enigma, a paradox. We are glad to hear that she has offered firm assistance to some African nations such as Zambia, and in fact Our cabinet minister friend yesterday says that she has offered the greatest economic assistance to Guyana with no strings attached. He said USA is opportunist who wants to get a hold on the economic life for any aid it gives. The Soviets are restrained because they have always been connected with Chagin. So China has offered, said Mingo, to his surprise, perhaps because she needs friends, aid, economic aid, he said, because, he admitted, because perhaps China needs friends. They have offered a great deal of aid, and one high official from the Prime Ministry, Prime Minister's Office of Communist China, is in Georgetown now, and we get inside before news is made about it from a meeting with this high-level cabinet officer. Our people in Georgetown, that is, stated that China has offered a great deal of economic aid with no strings attached. I give you news as it is, not like I would want it to be from our interpretation of history. It does show, indeed, the superiority of the socialist systems, in spite of their dangerous remnants of nationalism and imperfections. There is more done domestically by far to aid their people, and even internationally to assist the struggle of others by socialist nations without a shadow of a doubt than capitalism could ever dream of doing, because capitalism only uses people and exploits people. And that's why inflation cannot be really cured, no matter how much agreement is worked out in Bonn, even though the Germans have agreed to spend more on domestically for domestic improvements, and all of these various concessions have been made by the seven major monopoly industrial capitalists. You can't stop inflation. You won't stop unemployment, because the Third World is rising, breaking the shackles of its imprisonment, its chains of bondage. They won't work for 16 cents a day anymore. So naturally, everything's going to cost more, and people are going to be struggling to make ends meet in USA and all capitalist nations until capitalism finally capitulates. The major news has been covered, I think. There will be a 45% pay increase to English police in a new, vicious, right-wing law and order campaign. The Labour Party, which is so-called socialist, is now becoming more right-wing, more fascistic, to try to balance the threat of the Conservative Party, which is, by all polls, due to be the victors in the election coming up in the fall. So, policemen wages are increased from £2,500, which is a pretty high wage, to over £5,000. And the old custom that they will not be armed will be changed. They will be copying their U.S. fathers of despotism and brutality, being armed with all kinds of gases and weapons that will leave the hole the size of a dollar when they shoot through the victims. Because this law and order is the mood of England these days, a fascist mood in Spain, a fascist move of racism in England that was always known to be the most humane of the capitalist, so-called even social democracies. Now, under the new government, they're going to ban all immigrants. There will now be no right to strike. This is an unusual kind of thing that's being advocated. There will be no allowing of withdrawal of labor through strikes in England. It is very unclear. There must be real economic emergency to be that open in their restrictions against labor. The same is being taught to be done in France, the ass-kissing lackey of U.S. imperialism, that does her dirty work in Zaire and Chad and West Sahara. Britain is calling for the Labour government, this is outrageous, to cut off all food and basic commodities to the USSR, the Soviet Union, and Cuba, and her allies, stating enough is enough, stopping all immigration now of people of color, blacks, browns, and Asians, even before the Conservative Party under the little fascist Margaret Thatcher takes over as Prime Minister. Enough is enough refers to the treatment of Soviet dissidents or Zionists, whatever one's point of view. But this is outrageous to take these kinds of steps to interfere with trade and commerce, which is essential to world peace. In this right-wing mood, tragedy is bound to happen. Right-wing mood in Canada also, in USA, in France, in England, and an outright fascist mood threatening to take over in Spain. The sellout Uncle Tom, Bishop Muzawewa, Methodist head in Rhodesia, or Zimbabwe, as we prefer to call it, the only one of three black leaders in the white regime of Ian Smith's transitional interim government, so-called, is in Washington protesting USA trade sanctions, as limited as they are, against the Ian Smith racist regime of Rhodesia. It is amazing that Bishop Muzawewa will be able to travel about in that African community of Washington without harm, for his lips drip with blood as the Ian Smith regime has been capturing, torturing children of the Patriotic Front that is the true representatives, the Patriotic Liberation Front, headed by Robert Mugabe, Marxist-Leninist, and nationalist leader Joshua Nkomo. The regime of Ian Smith in Rhodesia or Zimbabwe has resorted to the most hellish kinds of treatment of those who are trying to liberate their soil. Yuri Orlov. They are gathering about in momentum. The USA's broadcast, again, seem to be concerned not with their own economic difficulties or racism or their political prisoners that Ambassador Young admits, are held in the United States in the thousands, but the airwaves are bombarded protesting the sentence of Yuri Orlov, who was providing information to foreign powers in his role as monitor for the Helsinki Peace Accords. He was charged with treason and got 5 years and then 4 more years in exile, internal exile, which means relatively nothing but that you can't travel outside of the Soviet Union. Two U.S. newsmen, the foreign correspondents for the Baltimore Sun and the New York Times, have been given 5 days for retraction of their slander, their libel against the Soviet television industries, which are owned by the government, for printing that one of the dissidents had been coerced into signing a false confession before television. Either the two U.S. newsmen will retract their lie in 5 days in Soviet periodicals or in periodicals in the USA, or it is thought that the foreign correspondents of the Baltimore Sun and the New York Times will be expelled from the Soviet Union. Khartoum, Sudan, will be debating the Western-backed proposal, which will have little chance of success, for a Pan-African peacekeeping force. It will be on the agenda of the heads of state meeting in Khartoum, Sudan. There will also be, assuredly, according to both socialist and capitalist news commentaries, a resolution for the freedom of U.S. imperialism and French imperialism. The entire liberation of the West Sahara will be called for by resolution of these African leaders, and it is expected that the same resolution will come about for the freedom of Rhodesia and South Africa. This is the main covering of the news. Now we will give you a nitty-gritty of Sudan, where this historic conference is meeting, where Zambia yesterday, its foreign minister called for liberation of South Africa, no imposition by Paris and USA on the Pan-African peacekeeping force, in spite of the financial difficulties Zambia's in. It took a brave step. Be sure to study its history. I gave you a rundown on Zambia yesterday. So it's a historic meeting in Sudan. More unity than ever been seen before by the 49 principal foreign ministers of the African nations on that large and richest continent on earth. Where is Sudan? Northeast Africa. Running along it, its east are the Red Sea and Ethiopia, the Soviet ally now, as she has been invited into COMCOM, the economic community of Soviet nations and her Warsaw Pact allies. Along the west are Libya, a socialist non-aligned nation that is very independent of imperialist interest and has been doing much to aid liberation in Africa. Also on its west are Chad, that is in a struggle now for liberation from the French, the representative of U.S. imperialism and NATO. And then on the west is the Central African Republic. North is Egypt. South are Zaire, Uganda, and Kenya. How was it created? The Sudan did not exist as a single territory until 1821, when the forces of Muhammad Ali, viceroy of Egypt under the Turks, conquered the area. That's spelled exactly like the prize fighter, Muhammad Ali. Anyway, he brought about that territory. He was the viceroy of Egypt, V-I-C-E-R-O-Y, under the Turks. He conquered the area, accepting Darfur, D-A-R-F-U-R, and added it to the Ottoman, O-T-T-O-M-A-N, empire. Later, British control and influence prevented Egypt from annexing its southern neighbor, though the two, Britain and Egypt, ruled the Sudan jointly. Following World War II, it was agreed that the Sudan would become independent, and a parliament was elected. Independence was proclaimed on January 1, 1956. How large is Sudan? 967,491 square miles. As compared to Guyana's 83,000 square miles, you can see that that is 12 times the size of Guyana. But its population is 20 times. So you still have a better ratio in Guyana to live and to eat and have a future than any place in the world. The population of Sudan is 18 million. Of that, Arabs constitute 48.7%. Dinka, D-I-N-K-A, 11.5%. Nubian, N-U-B-I-A-N, is 8.1%. Beja, B-E-J-A, are 6.4%. Nuer, N-U-E-R, are 5%. Azandi, A-Z-A-N-D-E, are 2.7%. Bari, capital B-A-R-I, 2.6%. For, F-O-R, 2.2%. Koalib, K-O-A-L-I-B, 1.9%. And other races white, and so forth, Asiatic, 10.9%. Of the Sudanese population, 72% are Muslim, 27% animist, worshipping nature, and less than 1% Christian. Who rules? The executive is the president. Theoretically, limited by an interim constitution and constituent assembly, but these are currently suspended. Who really governs? President Ghaffar, G-A-A-F-E-R, Al, A-L, capital N, I-M-E-I-R-Y, Nimeiri, who seized power in a left-wing military coup in 1969 and dissolved the legislative body, the Constituent Assembly. Political parties are banned except for the Nasser-style Sudanese Socialist Union, which has remained pretty loyal to socialism. It was created by the present president, Nimeiri, and it was very loyal to Nasser, who allegedly was murdered by the CIA before the sellout of Sadat, who is now taken over Egypt by referendum in a quasi-dictatorship. The general serves as both its chairman and secretary general. The opposition, though much underground, is still felt. General Nimeiri received the master's degree in military science at the U.S. Command and General Staff College at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas in 1966, though he has not been following a pro-U.S. line. Sudan is a country of two distinct cultures and many subcultures. The six northern provinces, containing three-fourths of the population, it's not nearly as fertile a land, of course, as Guyana, are inhabited by Arabic-speaking Muslims, while the population of the three southern ones consists of darker Nilotic, N-I-L-O-T-I-C, blacks, who are animists, believing that all living things and natural phenomena have souls. An Indian philosophy, a black philosophy. They respect all life. The animists are perhaps, of all those in religion, the most beautiful, because they respect every living thing. And that animism still prevails. The ancient cultural, religious life of Africa still prevails in most every African nation. And the animists, as I said, believe that every living thing, all living things and natural phenomenon, have souls, have life. With a Muslim Christian minority, they've never been able to overcome that culture and that heritage that is old as mankind itself of animism. Animism is spelled again, as you know, A-N. I think I spelt this once before, but I like for you to know these words because it is the basic belief of our forefathers. Animism, A-N-I-M-I-S-M, or animist is A-N-I-M-I-S-T. Throughout the existence of the Sudan, it has been the northerners, unified by language and religion, who have dominated the country with white backing of the colonialists of Europe. While in the south, suspicion of the north and white has been the only real unifying factor because there are many, many different dialects, but united they are in their suspicions of the white European and North American colonizers. The 16-year-long Sudanese Civil War, which was not ended until March 1972, represented opposition to a policy of Arabization, yes, and Islamization, trying to destroy the black culture, which was being forced on the South. Although little reported in the West, this was one of the greatest wars of this century in terms of its death toll. They did not want to show what Christians and Muslims were doing alike in a joint effort. This war between the Arabized Muslim North and the animist South took over 500,000 lives, mostly Southern, representing 1/8 of that region's entire population. It was genocide against blacks. Another 500,000 or more Southerners fled their homes going either into the bush or into refugee camps in neighboring black African countries, in spite of the socialist, reform-like government, racism was very much noted in that part of the world and encouraged by Western imperialism until General Nimere broke away and went more pro-socialist course in 1973. USA supported the racism, and her allies backed it to divide Sudan and keep it in the capitalist camp. As I said, another 500,000 and more had to flee their homes from the south, going either into the bush or into refugee camps in neighboring black African countries that came to the rescue. Following the 1972 Addis Ababa ABABA agreement, mediated by Ethiopians, then Emperor Haile Selassie, who never at least was racist, and providing for southern autonomy, it gave the South autonomous government, self-government. Anya Naya guerrillas, A-N-Y-A, capital N-Y-A guerrillas, the backbone of southern resistance, were absorbed into the Sudanese army and police and given their proper prestige and respect in a full integration as they pulled out of the Western efforts. U.S.-funded, CIA-backed, even the capitalists admit this, to destroy Sudan by a civil war that nearly eliminated the black population, looked like it would, caused one quarter of it, of the black population, to be removed from Sudan, one half by death, another one half by having to flee for their life, over one half by death. Over 500,000 blacks massacred in that Western imperialist attempt to destroy Sudan. While some 90% of the population is illiterate,